Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. I've got Robin Christofferson with me. Hello, Robin.
Hey, Stephen. Hey, Andy. Hey, Tim. Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler alert. That's shocking. Can't do that on the show. Oh, well, Tim, you've been busted. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Stephen and Andy and that guy claiming to be Robin. Spoiler.
I know. Who does he think he is? We've also got emails, Andy. Emails, Andy. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, I am here. Hi.
Sorry, my microphone just collapsed there as I'm starting. Oh. That's never a good start, is it? I think I've overused this little Amazon stand that I've got for this microphone. I think it's way overused. I think it was only intended to be used like once every so often, not every day, for the past year and a half. But never mind. We're continuing on regardless. I will. Does that mean I can buy something else? Okay. Right, guys, you do the show, and I'll go and buy stuff on Amazon. That sounds good
to me.
That's
just what you need, another Amazon box sitting in your office.
Yeah, don't even go there. The soundproofing in this studio is brought to you by Amazon boxes, because, you know, it's just there's so many of them around here. Other boxes are available, but not in this room. Right, look, lots to talk about this week. We're not going to touch the Apple event, because we know it's coming, but it's only coming as far as we're concerned. By the time you listen to this, especially if you listen to the weekend repeat, you're probably knowing exactly what Apple have announced. So we're not going to waste any time on Apple this week. In fact, we're going to switch it the other way this week. We're going to talk about Android. Shock, horror. Yes, we're going to talk about Android. Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, lots to talk about with Android. But just before we get to that conversation, though, to tell you what else is coming up a bit later, I have got a gadget here. Satisfying clunk there. I won't do the toes test on this one, I don't think. I don't think RNIB would appreciate that if I do this. But yes, they've sent me the new RNIB digital radio. And I'm going to have a play with it on the show. And I'm going to give you my first thoughts of this, which is now available in the RNIB shop. It's £99 ex VAT. You can get it on the RNIB store, but I'm going to give you my first thoughts of it, give you a bit of a walkthrough of the features. Actually, do you know what? For a radio, there's tons of features in this thing, so we'll get into that a bit later. And we have your emails. We've got emails. I should say Andy's got the emails. We give him the responsibility of looking after the email inbox. He does such a good job. And yes, you've been getting in touch in your droves again, which we do thank you for. So we'll get to those emails a bit later. But yes, we're going to kick off with a conversation about Android. I'm going to talk now to the team who produce a podcast called Blind Droid Users. Now, due to the time difference, I decided to get in touch with these guys before we started recording today's show, so that we could get everyone together. First off, thank you all for joining me here on Tech Talk. So, hello and welcome.
Hello.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Warren, I'll start with you. I start with you because you were the first voice to say hello to me when we all connected. So, hello. Tell us, first off, about Blind Droid Users and what you guys are up to at the moment.
So Blind Android Users, we kind of got started back on December the 19th. I hope Austin would correct me if I'm wrong. But so what we do is actually we kind of tend to focus more on the beginner and Android beginner, because what is going on is that there are a lot of people out there that really don't know what Android is all about. And especially in our blind community, a lot of people think that it's all iOS. And as a result of that, you got a lot of blind people that don't have an idea as to how Android works. And so our whole desire is to make sure that the unsuspecting blind person there that doesn't have the money or doesn't have the know-how of using the Android device would kind of learn from what we do. And so we decided to then start the Blind Android Users podcast. And so we've had a lot of tremendous success, and we keep plowing along.
Wow. I think that's amazing, right? I mean, you know, this is the key, is that oftentimes you have people who are starting out with a new technology and they don't have a clue how to get started, and they need somewhere to go. They need that resource. Austin, from your perspective, you do this via what, podcast? Do you have other resources, or is it just podcast?
No, we just have podcast. We have Twitter, YouTube. Okay. On that, we upload the content of the podcast. But we cover everything from beginners, right, to custom roaming, to app, to developer interviews, everything in between.
And Mariam, what's your role in all of this?
So actually, I have been following the podcast since it's been started, and I've been loving what they're doing because I have used Android for, like, I can say 8 years now or even more. And I love Android. And, like, the message that they were trying to deliver was amazing. And then Warren actually reached out to me and was like, okay, do you want to join us? I was like, yes, for sure. I definitely want to deliver, like, the same message that you want to deliver. So I am a host and a podcaster, and I'm definitely proud of that.
That's amazing. And this is the other thing about this. I mean, Warren, you're in the States. Mariam, you are in Egypt. And Austin, you're in India. I mean, the power of podcasting, the power of technology in and of itself has just brought you guys together from all over the world. And you actually all to me here. And I'm sitting here in Glasgow, Scotland. I mean, it's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is incredible, Stephen, because I think one of the challenges that we have is trying to coordinate the time zones and all of that. And of course, you're going to be jumping into someone's dinner time or someone's sleeping time. And, you know, me, knucklehead of me, you know, who doesn't want to get up early in the morning, got to get my butt out of that bed.
Let me ask you, and I'll start with you, Mariam, on this one. Let's talk about Android. Now, I am known in this world of accessible tech as a tiny, bit of an Apple fanboy. Right there, I've said it, okay? It's known, people criticize me for it, others praise me for it. I can't really win on it, frankly. And I know you're all Android people, you love your Android, and I get it. I totally understand, and I'm absolutely for anything, because at the end of the day, for me, I made a choice. I made a choice at a time when I had to make a decision, and it was the most accessible option to me. Android, of course, as we all know, has moved on dramatically. It is just as accessible as Apple. We don't need to, and I don't want to have the discussion of which is better. I think we're all quite sick of that conversation. It's a choice thing, right? It's about having choice, and Android is a great choice. But Mariam, what do you love about Android? What is it for you that just kind of keeps you on in that ecosystem?
Well, actually, I also did have a choice. Like, I have used iOS for a whole year, and, like, it was my choice to get back to Android again. So the thing that I love about Android is, you know, being free to do what you want, I can say. I definitely do understand the point that Apple wants security and things like that. But at the same time, it's kind of like in Android, it's much more open and we are free to do what we want. And, like, also the wide range of apps that we do have here on Android is amazing.
You think there's a bigger range of apps available to you on Android that maybe would be less? Okay, so what kind of apps? What would you be talking about there?
We do have, like, for instance, the first thing is screen readers. Like, we have, like, 3 or 4 screen readers that we can use. But on Apple, iOS, you do have just VoiceOver, which is kind of, well, that's cool. I know VoiceOver is good, but here, like, we can choose what we want to use. Every single screen reader does have its own features and its own advantages and disadvantages.
Okay, so that's really interesting because, Austin, from your point of view, where do you stand on this? What apps would you say are sort of trending at the moment? What are the big apps in the Android world that people are kind of leaning towards, particularly perhaps in the blind community? And it doesn't have to be blind apps per se, but just, you know, what are you finding people leaning towards in your community?
So especially in India, we have apps made by government for a lot of things, vaccines and schemes. And they develop the apps more for Android. Like, they develop the apps faster for Android than iOS. We also have equalizers, like apps for audio files. I've never used an iOS device. I've used an iPad, but no iOS device. We have a lot of equalizers and all, but I don't know if it's there on the iPhone because I've never used it. So people use equalizers and all on Android.
Do you know, it's kind of irritating because I sit here listening to, you know, Mariam, you've said a few apps. Austin, you've mentioned a couple of different apps, you know, specific maybe categories of apps. And I'm sitting here, you know, looking at my little iPhone thinking, you can't do any of this stuff. You're terrible. You know, especially around audio, because you don't get as much choice around audio. You don't get the ability to get into that high-res capability. Warren, it seems to me that every time we talk about apps or we talk about services available from Google through Android on their phones, it's always about customization, isn't it? And that's a really important feature.
It is a very important feature, Stephen, because people want to be able to be in control of their devices. I use myself as an example because for some time now, I like to be able to choose how I use my device, or, you know, how, you know, certain app, you know, what I want to do with that app. And so on Android, what people like the most is all about that customization, and most especially if something is not available for them or whatever in a particular region. For example, there I use an example of a Bible app that I was really interested in, but it wasn't available in my area. I think it was just like in the European market or something like that. And so all that I had to do was to ask my friend to send me the APK, you know, the installer file, the EXE, if we're talking Windows language here. All I had was that person extract it and send it to me, and now I have that Bible working for me. So that's one of the things that really push some of us to Android, having that ability to customize as we want, or when something is not available for us. And yet, in the same breath, we could find a way of getting that. And I think that's one of the strongest things about Android that we love on Android.
Does that actually make you a bit more of a techie in that sense? Because I think about what I do with my iPhone, right? And I'm probably not that adventurous, shall we say, with my iPhone. I don't tend to delve into the settings too often. I'll maybe go for a gentle meander through the settings every so often just to, you know, see what's new or see what's changed with after maybe an iOS update or whatever. I don't tend to go into too much. I don't tend to customize too much, possibly because I don't have the option, but I don't really feel the desire to do it. And I just wonder, is it a different mindset with Android that you, not that you necessarily have to go and change anything, you can just leave it and use it as is, I guess, but that having that ability gives you a greater sense of freedom, as Mariam has said, but it also means that you can, I guess, be a bit more advanced in your use of the operating system. Is that fair?
I think you just described it right, because this is why we call, some people say Android is for the techies and all of that, but in reality, it's not just for techie. The techie, however, has that advantage in the sense that he could do whatever he wants, he or she wants to do with their device. And this is why I call Austin the Mongolian minister, because using ADB now, he could do all kinds of stuff with his device. And now that we're having some problems with TalkBack, especially with Samsung devices running UI 3.1 or 3.0, what people are experiencing is that there's some sort of a sluggishness going on. And as a result of that, we had to do a little episode on how to make that thing go away. And Austin was the one that did that and have people had the opportunity of installing a different TalkBack version other than the one that came from the Samsung store. And that helped mitigate that problem. And so, indeed, you are correct when you said it's very techy, because one can do all sorts of things. You can invoke all kinds of stuff using it with your computer via that ADB Android debug bridge. And Austin, how about you tell us more about this powerful stuff that we have?
If you buy an Android phone, let's say from Xiaomi, from Realme, those OEMs, they put some skins on your phone. Now, skin is an OS, which is like Android, but it's customized a lot. Sometimes it is not accessible. What you can do is you can erase your Android and install the stock Android. It's not easy to do, but you can do it. And if you want to improve the performance of your device, flash a kernel, you want to improve the battery life, you can flash the kernel. All these things are difficult to do, but if you want to do, you can do it, definitely.
And that picks up on another point that Warren made there regarding TalkBack itself. TalkBack is a separate app, Austin. And that sounds to me, that is one thing that really interested me. I actually didn't realize this until very recently, that TalkBack was a separate app, which therefore could be updated and, I guess, on the flip side, downgraded as well, as and when. So you don't have to be tied to, say, a new Android operating system coming out with new TalkBack features that you might not want. You can actually go in and say, well, no, I don't want to upgrade TalkBack at this stage. I'll maybe roll it back. So again, it's not just, I mean, yes, it's great to customize lots of different parts of your system, but the parts that really matter to you as a blind user, the screen reader, you have got full control over.
Yeah, you've got full control over, and it's not like iOS, because from what I know about iOS, like VoiceOver is completely tied with the system. So if there is a bug, I think you have to wait for Apple to push a system update and then it'll be fixed.
Oh, yes.
But not with TalkBack. No. TalkBack, Google can push an update in 2 minutes or 2 hours or whatever, and the bug will be resolved.
So what I was going to say was that, you know, you're correct in pointing out that there was this TalkBack version that was pushed. Someone mistakenly pushed it out to the Play Store. It wasn't meant to be yet. And I think that was back in 2018. And I will never forget the uproar that went out from the mailing list about it. And I tell you what, in like 3 hours, that thing was resolved. And so that's the power of customization. And if you don't like a particular version you're observing or having some issues with that, you could always go back to the one that worked better for you and wait until those issues have been resolved and then jump back on it.
It's just incredible, isn't it? And the fact that it was able to be resolved so quickly, though, that's the key. Whereas, you know, I'm still having Braille issues on iOS, even though new updates have been pushed, I'm still having the same issues. And it will not be resolved until a major new iOS update comes out. And what I mean by that is an iOS update. I have to wait. I can't just get in touch and say, can you just fix this one thing? I've got to wait until the whole system is updated. So, yeah, I'm being converted, guys. I'm feeling my brain being pulled towards Android here. I want to ask as well about the actual TalkBack itself, because it has undergone some major updates itself recently, multi-finger gestures being one. Now, Mariam, do you want to maybe explain a bit about what that means for Android users and what wasn't there that is now there?
Recently, we just got that in Android 11, not just in TalkBack itself. And it's been a really, really good thing, like to be able to answer the call with double tapping with two fingers and being able to copy with triple tap with three fingers. It's like it hasn't been there. And even, you know, playing and stopping media with two fingers, that wasn't there. So I was really glad to hear that we will have multi-finger gestures on Android.
The problem is that this thing is supposed to be available for anything running Android 11 or better. But for some unknown reason, some phones that even have Android 11, the multi-finger gestures is not there. So this is something that Google is working on, but the API is supposed to support Android 11 or better. And if you're running Android 10 or later, you are not going to be able to take advantage of that. And I'm hoping that this thing becomes available to everyone, because this is one of the things that blind people have been talking about or wanting for a long time. And it's really better now with this support, and most especially on the web pages. I've experienced better support, especially on Chrome now with my TalkBack. It's, you know, it used to be that you try to read something on Chrome and it's just very buggy, but now it's as smooth as silk.
Can we talk about Braille? I've had so many reports from different people varying from Braille is terrible to Braille is excellent on Android. You three are obviously, you know, well versed in a lot of this stuff. So what do you know about Braille on Android? Where is it in 2021? Is it easy to use? I mean, from either Braille input or connecting a Braille display, what's the experience like?
So Braille is kind of I must say that most of the time, though, Braille is not very good, especially if you're using it with a Braille display. And the problem has to do with BrailleBack, which is the thing that powers Braille on Android. I mean, one could always use BrailleTTY. However, BrailleBack is there on the Play Store as to the BrailleTTY that one has to sideload, get the APK and install that. Now, the problem with Braille back is that it doesn't often make it scrollable, you know, independently. Say you are deaf, blind, or something, and that's the biggest problem that we have, especially if someone is deaf, blind. You don't expect them to, you know, constantly touch the screen to scroll the page when it comes to an end. And that's been one of the major problems that we have on TalkBack or TalkBack and BrailleBack. And as a result of that, I mean, even I, though I call myself the Android evangelist, I will tell someone who's deafblind to, if you're on iOS, just stay on iOS for a while until things get fixed. But there are certain Braille devices, however, that would let you scroll through and through. And I know my friend Steve in the UK, your neighbor there, Stephen, Steve Nutt has a Braille device that, you know, would let him scroll independently of that. And I think that's the Essays or Essays. I don't remember, something from that area there, and that's the one that works.
You know, one area for me which I find rather interesting, and I was thinking about this the other day, actually, in advance of us getting together for this conversation, is about how Android is often baked into specialist tech for blind people, which you wouldn't get with iOS. So, you know, I think about Braille displays that are now coming with Android built in. Look at the new BrailleSense 6, which will have Android 10 built in. We've got the BrailleNote Touch from Humanware. These devices are being built with Android as part of its operating system, which, again, you couldn't do because you can't go off and get Android and build it in, iOS. You can't go off and get iOS and put it into your device in the same way. So, you know, for that reason, that's obviously allowing it. And I imagine a lot of young people, of children, are learning how to use these devices at school. That's putting them on the path with Android, isn't it? And let's be honest about it, in the same way that when I was at school, I was taught on Apple, you know, and that pushed me towards Apple in later life. The same will be the case with Android for kids today, which for you guys is great news, isn't it?
You know, when you have this open source, you know, Android is an open source project, you know, OASP. And so anyone can take Android and make whatever they want out of it, you know, whether it's going to be Raspberry Pi or whatever. Anyone can take it and make whatever they want to do with it. And that's the beauty of it. And now we're seeing all these Braille manufacturers, like you've just described, jumping onto the train. I think that's a beautiful thing for those of us on Android, because if the kid doesn't have an Android phone, but the state buys them this device or parents buy them this device, then they're actually experiencing Android. And when they get an Android phone, they are no stranger to Android phones. So it's a win-win situation for Android. And I'm really loving it. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, here's a question for you, because I don't want to give away everything that you do on your podcast, because I want people to go and listen to your podcast. And I want the people to learn about Blindroid users. I want you know, to subscribe and you know, go and check out all the content. But there's something that you talked about at the very beginning, Warren, that I really want to sort of tie into here. And that is that beginning step, that first step into the world of Android, or arguably smartphones, accessible smartphones. And I'm thinking about this because of a number of our audience will be Apple fans or Apple users. I'm wondering about that transition. Because I've often wondered about this. What if I was to make the move today? Now, I jump around devices. It's part of my job. I have to try out different things. You know, I'm a reviewer of tech gadgets, right? I've got to try stuff out. But for someone actually making the determined change to go from Apple to iPhone, to say, I've had enough of Apple, I want to go down the Android route, how easy is that? And what support and what resources are out there to help?
Yeah, people often ask that question, Stephen, and this is why we exist for that. We have a mailing list for all of that, and then we have our website with our podcast and our YouTube site as well. Now, I would say here, though, that the one thing that is very good on Android is that, in actuality, the TalkBack tutorial on your phone itself is a great resource. If one is trying to learn Android, you could practice that and be a good Android user Android user just from using that tutorial. Now, the another important thing is that we have these people on our mailing list that are always out there willing to help people. And so when I advise people who are trying to dip their toe into Android, try to get something that is cheap, you know, don't, you know, maybe get something like a Nokia phone or a Motorola phone or something like that. And the good thing is that you don't need a SIM card in there in order to even set up a device. And that's the beauty of Android. And so with that, I say, you know, someone wanting to learn, they could always get some old phone from someone or buy something from eBay or Amazon or whatever for $50, $90, whatever, just to practice with it. And I'll say, get like a Pixel device, one of those Pixel phones, like the first generation Pixel. You probably could find that for like $60, $70 or even less. It's a very good place to get started on Android.
Mariam, what phone are you rocking at the moment? What is your Android flavor at the moment?
I prefer Samsung. Like, I have been using Samsung for a while. Like, I've used like 3 or 4 phones from Samsung, but I'm actually thinking of switching to Google at the moment.
Austin, what phone are you rocking at the moment? I imagine you're rocking a few, but what's the one you're what's your daily driver?
So my main phone is the OnePlus Nord, but I also have the OnePlus 6T on which I test a lot of custom ROMs. So that is my roaming device.
Mm.
But I prefer OnePlus. So.
But you're a true geek, Austin, right?
Yeah.
Here's my Mongolian minister, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Warren, what are you rocking at the moment?
I'm kind of rocking. I think my favorite right now is the Pixel 4. I mean, I have the 4A as well. Now and then I go back and try one of those running my Android 12 preview. I have it on my Pixel 3A, for example. But right now, the Pixel 4 is my main driver.
Well, you know, look, guys, this has been really interesting, and I'm so glad we've been able to do this. Please plug the heck out of your podcast so that other people will know to go and get it. Who wants to promote their podcast wildly?
So first of all, I would like to thank Steve for inviting us here, and it was a fantastic interview. And to find us, you can go to blindandroidusers.com. That is our website. You can find our podcast there. You can find guides submitted by our users. And if you have a guide that you want to submit, you can send it by email to contact@blindandroidusers.com. And you can follow us on Twitter by visiting blindandroidusers, and I'll give the link so that the link is in the show notes. And we also have a YouTube channel, and I'll be giving you the link also. And we have a very big Telegram group of over 112 members. And the biggest group is our mailing list. It's nearing 500 members now. So you can subscribe to the group. You can send an email to blindandroidusers, then subscribe@groups.io. So that is our podcast information.
Yeah, and do remember to follow my fights with Warren, please, because they're interesting.
Yeah, and that's the joy of this, right? We can get you to connect with other people as well. Can I ask one favor from all of you as well? Can you tell the world that RNIB Tech Talk is not an Apple first show? We're not about Apple only, and I think we've just proven that with this conversation. You know, I want to hear from everybody from all walks of life, and you know, the only way I can talk about these subjects is by talking to great people like you. And I really want to thank the three of you for coming on. It sounds like you've got a great team of people all across the world. Thank you for making the time in all these different time zones to make this happen today, and I really appreciate your time, and best of luck with the podcast.
Thank you so much, Stephen. We appreciate you. And RNIB guys, we love you guys too, but put on Android on there.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. It's been an honor to be here.
Definitely our pleasure, guys. Thank you so much, and do subscribe. So nice to hear about Android. I've got Robin and Tim and Andy back with me here. You know, Andy, you are the Android guy around here. Let's be honest about it. You are the man with an Android phone, although we never let you talk about it because why would you? But, you know, it is nice to hear more about it. And it's interesting. I thought what a perfect time for this interview to come up and talk about the benefits of Android and some of those key features we talked about, you know, ahead of an Apple event, because you know, we're always hearing about Apple on the show, right? So it's nice to switch it up a bit and hear about the wonderful stuff that's going on with Android. Now, let's turn our attentions to another area. This is relating to apps, actually. The Be My Eyes app. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Have any of you had to do your COVID test yet at home?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Painful.
Well,
in fact, almost impossible to do it without eyes, because you have to scrape your either side of your what's that punch bag at the back of your voice of your
the tonsils. Yeah.
Thank you.
Punch bag.
You put that in the right place? You're not allowed to touch the side of your mouth or your tongue or anything.
That's right. This,
yeah. I found it pretty impossible. It's like three sticks.
Game of operation, isn't it? So you imagine there's going to be an eh if you get the thing in the wrong way. Have you tried one of these, Andy? Have you had to do a COVID test at home yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't even had my first injection yet, because I'm so well done. I'm such a youngling. Yeah, I'm not yet to get it, but I'm intrigued, and I will be getting it done. But yeah, punch bags in your throat. Okay, is that what you've got to?
Yeah,
I thought we decided that. Right. Did we not decide Robin was a doctor a few weeks ago?
Robin's decided he's a doctor, and I'm starting to question those qualifications, Robin, I must say. Well, this is relating specifically to COVID tests people are having at home. Now, I've done this as well, and I'm with you, Robin. This is not an easy process at all. But there is help available courtesy of Be My Eyes. Now, in the Be My Eyes app, you have two sections, right? You've got the Call First Available Volunteer, and you've got Specialised Help. And under specialised help now, there's a health section where you can go in and you can choose NHS Test and Trace, and that will actually give you direct access to the Department of Health and experts there to help you successfully perform your COVID-19 test, get the results and all the rest. Let's hear more about this now from Will and Alex, who are from Be My Eyes, who has talked to my colleague Ellie Marsh this week.
It was actually through some of your colleagues at the RNIB who was like, here's a great technology that can really help bridge this gap. For we know that a lot of these home test kits are not fully accessible, and sometimes people need a little bit more support. So it was actually from a connection through RNIB who connected us initially with the Department of Health and Social Care, because this is exactly the kind of issues that our technology solves, allowing companies or organizations and governments to provide accessible customer support through live video directly through the Be My Eyes app. So the way that you would do it now, if you need help with one of these home tests, you would just have to download the Be My Eyes app. And then, as Will said, there's two options in the app. There's an option to call volunteers. That's for checking if the color of your shirt is what you think it is. And then there's specialized help. And if you tap into specialized help, this is where all types of companies and specific services are listed. So if you need help with a home COVID test, you just go into specialized help, click into personal health. And in there, there will be you just go find NHS test and trace services. And you can make a call directly to a trained specialist from the Department of Health who can help you complete the test. And it's everything from like taking the test, making sure that the return label's on, registering the kit, all this stuff. And they're super, super helpful and provide an excellent service.
And you can hear more of that interview on our RNIB Connect podcast. If you aren't subscribed, you should go subscribe and get lots of interesting conversations and stories about work that's been done by RNIB, but lots more besides. Anyway, that's just part of the conversation with Ellie Marsh. As I say, you'll get more of it there. Okay, let's move on, because I want to talk about the RNIB radio this week, the RNIB digital radio that has just launched in the RNIB shop. And before we came on, I decided I'd sit down with the radio, get to grips with it, and show you some of the cool features that it has. So here is the RNIB DAB FM radio. It is easy to see. It's got high contrast buttons, high contrast LCD screen, and on the button front, actually nice tactile feel as well. So let me talk you through it. But I know before we get into all this, you want to just hear what it sounds like when I turn it on, don't you? So here we go. The satisfying click of the button.
Power on.
And that audio prompt telling us that the device is on. And there we go, we get some nice music there as well. Quite loud as well, turn the volume up, let's hear it. Must be about three quarters of the way with the volume. Really nice level of volume there from the 3-watt inbuilt stereo speakers, which I've got to say are really nice. Now, there's lots of features of this particular device. DAB, I mentioned. A lot of you asking about DAB Plus. Is that an option here? Yes, it is. It's DAB Plus and FM with RDS, meaning that you'll get the RDS, the radio text that comes along with FM radio stations, telling you what the name of the station is, which is really important. Now, you can set up to 6 radio station presets on this. You can do 3 DAB and 3 FM as favourites, and that is courtesy of the buttons on the top of the device. I'll just quickly run through those for you. So on the top of the device, you have, on left and right, you've got a knob either side. One is a turning knob with a select on it. That is for changing the radio station and selecting it. On the right-hand side, you have a volume selector that you just turn, and it gives you the different, obviously, volume levels. Now, someone's talking on that radio station, so I'll turn it down a bit so we don't get confused. On the front, or I should say on the top at the front, you have the on-off button, which has an indent on it. And this is me going from left to right. You've then got an A, a B, and a C button as well. Those also act as seeking back, play, pause, and seeking forward buttons. And I'll explain why those are important in a moment. Now, also, you'll feel just at the sort of middle of the top of the device, a little indent that you can push down on. And that actually, when you pop that in, it actually opens up a little menu of 8 other buttons in there. There's a home button, there's a menu button, and there's other buttons as well, 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are for voice memos. And this is yet another function of this radio. There's actually tons of things in this radio that other radios I haven't found have. This is a voice prompt and voice message service. So basically you can set up a voice message that you record or someone records for you, that will play at different points of the day or the evening, or just a one-off reminder. So let's say you need a reminder to take your tablets at 10 o'clock each morning. You can actually use the radio to set that reminder so that when you turn the radio on, or even if you don't have the radio turned on, it will actually play this message to you. So let's go to button number 1. So I'll hold that in. Let me do that again.
Voice record 1. Use the left-hand rotary control to select voice memo on, off, edit, or to record a new voice memo. Then press to select.
Okay, so I'm able to choose
any time to exit the voice memo setting.
I don't actually have to use this as a voice memo button, but if I've chosen to, I can. So it's obviously I've not given a response, so it's just come back to playing the radio again. So let me hold in number 1 again.
Voice record 1.
Let's say I want to record. So I'm going to, it says to select, twist the rotary knob on the left.
Edit. Record new.
I'm twisting it. Record new. Okay, so I'm going to press in that button, that select.
Use the left-hand rotary control to set the hour for your voice memo and press to select.
Okay, so I want to make sure that I'm getting the time. So this is when this will play. So let me just turn this. Now, what I'm not getting there are the audio prompts to tell me the time itself. So this is very much a low vision device, I would say, on that basis. So, or indeed, if someone's doing this for you, that would be fine. So I'm choosing a time in the afternoon.
And press to select.
So it's telling me to now select the minutes. I'm just going to select random minutes.
Set the volume and press to select.
Now, this is good because you might want a really loud memo to be played out to you, or you might want it to be quite quiet. You can choose it there, so I'll just hit select.
Set the frequency and press to select. You can choose from daily, once only, weekdays, or weekends.
Okay, so you can choose different times. I'll say once only. Yep, I've selected once only.
Set the day and press to select.
Okay, so I'm going to select a day in the future. I'm just turning the knob so that I'm just turning it around to the right so I can choose the day in the future.
Set the month and press to select.
I'll just select that month and I'll just select the next one.
Press the left-hand rotary control to record your voice memo.
Okay, so let's do that then.
The rotary control.
Just recording a message to test the RNIB radio and its new voice message function. So I've stopped it. And it should now play back to me.
Just recording a message to test the RNIB radio and its new voice message function.
Okay, cool.
Press the left-hand rotary to save your voice memo or choose to re-record.
And there you go. So I've got options to record those, and there are four buttons there, so I can have different voice memos on each button should I wish, which is pretty cool. There's something else just while I've got you here on this, because you know, as well as it being a radio, and you would expect it to be a radio that you just listen to, you know, there's lots of joy in that, obviously. But there's something else with this which I think you'll be keen on. Tons of features in this. Check out the RNIB website for more details. But this is cool. On this, the right hand side, there are two flaps that open up at the bottom and at the top. One is the bottom one is for headphones. And the one above it is actually for a USB stick. So I've got my USB stick here that I've pulled out my computer with my RNIB talking book on it, yes. And I'm going to put it into the radio. And it satisfactorily goes in on the right-hand side. And now I'm going to go to the mode button, which is in an X shape. It seems to be an X. So I'll press
FM mode.
And that changes the mode of the station. So if I choose... So that's me choosing FM. I'll press it again.
Talking book mode.
And now I'm in talking book mode.
By the driver.
And that's it. It's playing my talking book.
RNIB.
RNIB.
Now, I mentioned earlier that the ABC buttons also act as seek back, play pause, and seek forward, right? Or jump forward. So I'm going to hit B.
One pause.
That will pause my book. I can play again by hitting B.
Level of navigation.
I can go to the next chapter by pressing C.
Skip forward.
Copyright information.
Skip forward.
Full title page. The Blood Bus. Tales from the Glasgow Buses.
Pause.
Yeah, now you know the kind of books I listen to. That's me listening to my talking book via my USB straight into this radio, which is absolutely brilliant. Now, of course, there are, as I mentioned, tons of other things on here. Different language options as well. It is preset to English, but there's German, French, Dutch and Norwegian available. On the front of the display, there's also a temperature display with a low room temperature alert option. Very good as well. If you worry about low temperature or the temperature falling and you're unaware of it, a dual alarm as well with snooze function, sleep timer. I mentioned that headphone socket for private listening. You can, of course, put batteries in it as well, but it can power off the mains, which does come included. So lots of things in here. So lots of positives. The downside, I did say this is for low vision, because one of the biggest problems you'll find with this radio is, and if you're buying it for this function, it won't work, is if you're buying it to seek out radio stations to listen to and you're blind, the radio will not read out. That is not what it's doing. It will not read out the station names as you scroll through them. So when you go to that list of stations, you will get an audible beep as you move through the different options, but you'll have to be able to see them on screen in order to select the station you want. But of course, if you have someone who can help you with that, they could set your favourite radio stations to presets using those three buttons, the ABC buttons in DAB or FM mode. It's a great radio. It's £99 from the RNIB shop. As I say, lots of functions. For me, what wins it is that USB stick input on there. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I just love the ability to have my talking books and my radio all in one. Absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, you can tell us your thoughts by emailing us techtalk@rnib.org.uk. So I recorded that earlier, and I just also like to add to that that it's £99 ex VAT, £119 including VAT, but if you're blind or partially sighted, you can get this device ex VAT, and you can get in touch with the RNIB helpline for any questions around that by calling them on 0303 123 9999, or you can email helpline@rnib.org.uk. You can even ask Lady A to call the RNIB helpline if you so desire. Right, it's time for these.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Time for the emails and voicemails this week, Andy. We're very honoured. Yes, very honoured this week. Yeah, well, it's kind of nice to get the voicemails through. So if you do want to send us a message, you can email us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, and get in touch with us, drop us a voice message, as Stuart has done.
Hi, guys. This is Stuart Lawler from Dublin. Really enjoyed the discussion on the last Tech Talk about managing your time and tips for, I suppose, working more efficiently and hopefully having less stress on yourself. There was two things I wanted to comment on. I live in Microsoft Outlook, I think like a lot of people these days. And first of all, love the tip on Notepad. I use it all the time. It can't beat it because it's so simple, so straightforward. And I do all my my to-do lists in Notepad. But two things I wanted to mention. First is flagging emails for follow-up. I find that very effective. So if there's an email you're looking at, and if maybe the message might say, please get back to me by the end of the week, and you don't want to do it just now, you can set a flag to give you a reminder, say, for example, at the end of the week on a Friday afternoon, and the email will pop back up in a little reminders window so that you can open it and you can get back to the person at that point. So I do that all the time. I have loads of follow-ups that pop up at scheduled times. And the second thing is the notes function in Microsoft Outlook is a really nice way to just take quick notes, to jot things down. And I use this a lot when I'm, well, I used to use it more, I suppose, when I used to work out of the office. If I was at meetings, for example, I would use the Notes app on my phone to take notes, and then they would automatically sync back into the Notes app in Microsoft Outlook. So hope those two tips might be helpful. Great to hear the show as always, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Stuart. Good to hear from you, and glad that the productivity conversation sparked some interest, because, I've got to say, I've found I'm being more productive these days using a lot of these tips, and you know, we've been sharing them around ourselves, and I think it's a really useful thing. This is actually something in the emails, Andy, that people have picked up on as well.
Yeah, let's continue this theme. This is an email from Alan Philpott. Hi guys, I would like to offer you and your listeners some help in this area. There are two DAISY format books which I found to be very good as a supporting act for those seeking to become better organized. They're called Once Past the Desk and Manage Your Mind. They're available through the RNIB in the normal way when you order talking books. There are also many other titles about managing your time from the RNIB. The other thing to say is that in work and home situations, some of Outlook's features like the calendar, tasks and note-taking facilities, as well as setting up a good folder system for your emails, are indispensable for a peaceful and more productive life. As with all things, what you achieve is related to the amount of effort you put in, so it's worth spending just a few hours reading and learning about these wonderful topics, as well as making adjustments to your computer. There are also many things online which may help. Time and project management are undoubtedly two of the most empowering things that I've ever learnt. They keep the stress of blindness under control, can save unnecessary expenses, and allow one to have more time to do the things that really matter. All the best. That's from Alan.
It's very interesting. Tim, you didn't get a chance to chime in this conversation because I think Sean was on that week that we had this chat. And we were kind of talking, as I say, around the whole productivity and different things we do, and not even necessarily for people in work, right? I mean, just at home, having access to, you know, the Outlook and the emails and all the things and all the stuff that comes in on a daily basis, organizing our lives, children, family life, all that. You know, it's so important for us to be organized, and perhaps more important for us as blind people to be organized.
Absolutely. An unorganized life as a blind person is kind of a scary prospect to me, quite honestly, because, you know, as you guys know, a lot of the time we want to have things just in the right place, or, you know, things on our computer organized in a very particular way, just to make things easier, make your life easier. And if you're not already doing that, it's worth a try. And finding different ways to be productive, whether that's using some sort of shortcut on your phone or an app, or using even, you know, using Siri for something like that, which I found very helpful to do notes on my phone, to add to a previous note, or, you know, create a new note. All these tips that we've been getting with Microsoft Outlook, I've used some of these for years and years. Some of them are a little new to me, so I'm definitely going to add this to my workflow, because any way to be more productive with my email and the sorting of my email and keeping notes and all that is always, always very helpful. And I do want to second the point on creating folders. For years, I've always done that. I forget what it's called, but in the settings, but where you can specify a particular recipient or subject or whatever, actually many different types of things, to have it go automatically to a particular folder. That feature is fantastic for keeping organized.
Rules.
There you go.
Setting.
Thank you.
And it's interesting. Yeah. I used to use that setting all the time, and for some reason, over the past few years, I haven't. In fact, my my inbox is a complete shambles, because what I do is I read an email and then I delete it. And then I never, and hope that nobody ever deletes my deleted items, because I just live in my deleted items. Is this horrifying news to you, Robin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Focused inbox, which is a new thing in Outlook, newish anyway, I turn that off as well. I need to have everything that is yet to be actioned in one place, i.e. my inbox. So I don't even want rules to push things into subfolders, because then it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So, but I'm sure Tim's more organized in, you know, going into those folders. And I mean, I'm sure it helps, but for me,
I think you end up in a mess though doing that, don't you? I mean, it's, you know, with the rules, you at least everything goes into a folder. And, you know, if it's a folder, if it's relating to, in my case, different shows that I do, different projects I'm working on, it actually helps. I get what you mean, but I think it's also handy just to have everything in that. You know, I think if it was a physical thing, if I was a guy who was in, you know, able to see fully, and had an office in the 80s, it would be full of folders. It'd be folders everywhere, stuff full with bits of paper that I'd know that is related to that. And I think that's easier, no?
It might depend on how much time you've got to manage your email, because my inbox here is 17, and all of those are waiting to be actioned. So, you know, that's kind of what I've got on my table at the moment. So if you had 177 or something, then...
I'm not going to tell you what's in mine.
Yeah, you don't want to know what's in mine. But that's the thing, though, that, like, for instance, with me, I've got four different email accounts that I keep track of, a personal one, you know, a kind of a junk one, and then two that I use back and forth for my Life After Blindness website and podcast. And because I get certain, like, Google alerts and certain things to one Gmail account, but then I get personal emails or emails from listeners or something like that to my Life After Blindness account, I have some of those flagged to go to a separate folder. And I believe, without my hands trying to do it, I believe it's Control Y will bring up the list of folders. And then you could just tap the first letter of the name of the folder and pop right to it. Of course, if there's more than one, hit that letter a couple times, but I'll just hit Control Y. The letter L takes me to my Life After Blindness, you know, folder. And I can go and check out things specific to that, or things that might have come from family or something like that. So it is actually, I think, a lot faster, a lot easier. But if you only have 17 emails in your inbox, I mean, then, yeah.
But do you know that Control Y is an absolute, yeah. I forgot about that actually, just until you reminded me of it. That's
best.
A genius feature.
Yes.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's probably the best. That actually makes the whole folder thing work, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without that, I'd be lost.
Yeah, because you'd have to be constantly going back to the tree view. And I do that. I'm terrible for going into the tree view. And yeah, exactly. Tab. It's just a nightmare. Yeah, okay, very interesting. I just want to bring up an audio comment that came in from Peter, relevant to something that we talked about last week in relation to Sky Q.
Hi, Tech Talk team. It's Peter from Robin Hood County, hoping you're all well. Thank you for an informative and interesting programme, as always. I do have one slight niggle, though. It's about the item on Sky and the accessible box. They came late to the party, but they bought a gift, so don't be so negative. Doesn't matter how late somebody turns up, as long as they've got prezzies in their hand. So, look on the bright side, guys. Whoever's got Sky and likes television and has the box will be able to navigate through it with a lot more ease than they have been previously doing. Never look on the dark side. It makes life a lot more pleasant. There's enough unpleasantness in the world as it is. So, thank you, Sky, very much. Even though I don't watch television and haven't for the last 21 glorious years.
He's my kind of guy.
Take care, everybody. Thank you for the show again, and may we have many more.
Ah, you're very welcome, Peter. Thank you for your comment. I don't think we were particularly negative, were we, about that?
I wasn't here, so I'm sure it was negativity abound. No.
Well, I'm looking at Robin, I have to say.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Negative. I mean, it's the prodigal son, isn't it? You know, he was pleased to see him, even though he dissipated his fortune and come back and, was repentant. So, yes, I'm sure Sky, having been late to the party, are making a lot of people's day with that new accessibility. But, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I've got to agree with Peter on this one. I've had so many different people give me their views on this, and it tends to fall back to this, yeah, but how long has it taken? I'm with Peter. It's here now, and that is so important. I'm not interested in looking back on this one. I know I'm not one to complain, guys. As you know, I would never complain. just a tiny bit. I finally got the update on my TV, and I love it. I'm able to use my TV again independently. I have to say, the option of having hints or no hints is actually brilliant, because you actually find very quickly that the hints, all they tell you is arrow right, arrow left, up, down. I mean, what else can you do? But it does also say things like, if you want to record a series or record a program, it'll tell you how to do that. So that's helpful stuff. But once you know that, you don't really need to hear it all the time. So turning off the hints does help things move along a bit quicker. The voice is good. Clearly, it's early days, right? It's day one, essentially, on this. But can I operate my satellite TV box independently? Yes, I can. And I've got to say, I'm really pleased about that. You know, it's almost emotional that first day. You're like, I don't need to go up and try and see this again, or have to, you know, double check something with Be My Eyes or Aira. I can just do it myself. It's brilliant. I mean, it's still a long way to go, obviously, with third-party apps. I'm always annoyed about that. But, you know, we've started somewhere with this, and I think it's good. And I'll maybe do a little recording for you, although I have to say, I think Kieran did a much better job than I could have done reviewing it on last week. I think it was last week's show. We talked about that. Look, we're almost out of time. It's been a very quick show for us this week, it feels anyway, but we've had a lot of really interesting conversations around Android. We're going to be talking about Apple next week and whatever they bring out. And we're also going to be hearing next week from Paul Beppe. Now, he works in user design at the BBC, and he's going to be joining us to talk about Braille, and in particular, the Braille device that he loves the most, which is the L-Braille. We'll find out how it works, how good it is, because my question is, how productive can you be on something like this? Could you edit audio on it? Could you edit video on it? Would you be able to do all that stuff? Is it powerful enough? So we'll get into that. We're going to talk about some of the other Humanware products that are out there, and we're going to discuss Orbit as well, being new to the game and also coming in at a much cheaper price as well. How good is that? So all that coming up on next week's show. Plus, of course, we'll hear more from the Technology for Life team, and lots more besides. As always, thank you to Robin Christofferson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Tim Schwartz.
Thank you.
And Emails Andy.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time. Thanks, guys.